Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 29 May 2018, and it's a very auspicious day because our Tuesday class coincides with Vesak Day. And Vesak Day is a very auspicious and significant day for Buddhists. For those who understand the deep meaning of Vesak, it's also called a tri-sacred day, where we commemorate the birth of the Buddha, where it was also on the 15th of full moon day. Then his enlightenment also same 15th of a full moon day, also in the same month it seems. Then there is also what they call his parinibbana, his passing away from the physical form and mind. We call it the Buddha's parinibbana. So these are the tri-sacred day, the triple significant occasion where we recall to mind the great virtue and wisdom and perfection of Sakyamuni Buddha, of Lord Buddha. It is very significant in the sense that his birth is like very unique, like the Buddha mentioned under his teaching, is it? Very, very rare indeed is the arising of a Sammasambuddha. So that birth is extraordinarily unique, and we are so blessed to be born during the sasana where the teaching is still around. The other unique point about the birth is it is within his aspiration to arise as a Sammasambuddha, and this was predicted. The prediction was given by Dipankara Buddha long time ago. So the Buddha's arising or manifestation is indeed very rare and very unique. And as Buddhists, we should really have great gratitude towards his great compassion and love for the world. That's why he made that vow, made that aspiration to become a Sammasambuddha and to come for the living beings. Then, of course, after that, the greater significance is his enlightenment, that he was able to inherit what he has already perfected and cultivated, and that gave rise to the special teaching that he came to realize, and that is the Buddha Dhamma that we are having today. Since the time of Sakyamuni Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree, after his full enlightenment, where he connect back to his nature and develop the ability to share and teach this teaching to the world. That's why the enlightenment is also very, very significant. And this teaching is very rare, very rare, difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons, not just eon, but very long eons. Then later on is his parinibbana, passing away. The significant part about the Buddha's parinibbana is his message, the last advice to all the monks. You see, he told the monk, apamadeta sampadeta, so strive on with heedfulness. Do not procrastinate or do not be heedless anymore. That's why that striving is to be heedful. That striving is not a craving, not a desire. You can put in front here. Don't worry. No. Oh, okay. You managed to put in the one tray. Okay. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind, take your this one out. No. Never mind. Yours is bigger. Put this one. Okay, take this one. Put here. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, in front the two seat is empty. Whoever who can hear me, you can come forward. So now, before I continue, I will maybe together we will commence our puja chanting. So we have made the offering. So based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering, later on we will make use of it to make our aspiration and other things. And since today is Vesak, after the puja, we will also be chanting the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, his first sermon, to remind us of his great teaching. This was the first teaching that he taught to the five ascetics. And this teaching is very powerful. Well, this is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And the Buddha himself mentioned underneath that sutta, he said this teaching was never heard before by living beings for a very long time, until he himself realized the essence of his teaching. He called it the Four Noble Truths and its three turnings. So that is a very significant teaching milestone, and we need to go through. And the chanting of it will give rise to a lot of understanding and wholesomeness, especially the devas, because their lifespan is very long. During the time of the Buddha, they are already up there. Till now, they are still up there. So when you chant, especially when you chant with understanding and faith, it has its potency. And tonight we're very lucky. We have Sister Ingvi here. So the chanting will be even more potent. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhā and virya. Then we shall now commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijjā Moni Phō. Namo Bhansi Sijjā Moni Phō. Namo Bhansi Sijjā Moni Phō. Namo Quan Sīn Pūsā. Namo Quan Sīn Pūsā. Namo Quan Sīn Pūsā. Namo Ami Tho Phō. Namo Ami Tho Phō. Namo Ami Tho Phō. Namo Mi Lo Phō. Namo Mi Lo Phō. Namo Mi Lo Phō. Namo Pūsien Pūsā. Namo Pūsien Pūsā. Namo Pūsien Pūsā. Namo Phō Pūsā. Namo Phō Pūsā. Namo Phō Pūsā. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our normal chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chandapadipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang thang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena sena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we will do the invocation to the Deva together. Well, after that we will chant the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. We will make the invocation. Yeah. Okay, I'll read the English translation. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, you have to lock the end. The end, yeah. Not tight, yeah. Tighten it, yeah, okay. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devatha Sadhammam Munirajas Sunantu Sagamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badam Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatam Veditabo Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidam chattari purisayugani Atta purisapugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahoneyo Pahoneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyakhetam Lokasati.
Turn to next page. Yeah? We also chant tonight maybe the four objects of veneration. Yeah? So this is Tibida Chetia Vandana.
Vandami Chetiyam Sabham Sabdane Supatititam Saririkadatu Mahabodhim Buddharupam Sakalam Sada Vandami Chetiyam Sabham Sabbatane Supatititam Saririkadatu Mahabodhim Buddharupam Sakalam Sada Vandami Chetiyam Sabham Sabbatane Supatititam Saririkadatu Mahabodhim Buddharupam Sakalam Sada.
Then we continue with the Bohi Vandana, salutation to the Bohi tree. This one, we need Ingbi to guide us. This one we seldom chant. Because this word denote the enlightenment of the Buddha, how he attained omniscience. So out of gratitude towards that Bohi tree, this chanting come about. Okay, Ingbi, you chant.
Yasamole Nisinova Sabari Jayang Akha Pato Sabanyutam Satta Vandetam Bodhipadapam Imete Mahabodhi Lokanatena Pujita Aham Pite Namasami Bodhiraja Namatute.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Then I will recite to you the English version of our last chanting, the Bodhi Vandana, salutation to the Bodhi tree. Seated at its base is the teacher who overcame all foes, attaining omniscience. That very Bodhi tree do I venerate. Those great trees of enlightenment, reverence by the Lord of the world, I too shall salute you. May there be homage to you, O great Bodhi. So this one, every time if you see a Bodhi tree, it's like the Buddha Rupang image, you recall to mind the great significance, because the Lord Buddha sat underneath the Bodhi tree. That's why we call it the tree of enlightenment. So the Pali word Bodhi stands for enlightenment. That's why as cultivator, if we take the Bodhisattva vow, the first stage of Bodhi mind development is to cultivate this Bodhi mind, make aspiration to walk this way. So cultivation of the Bodhi mind is very important. You plant the seed of Bodhi deep into your nature. Then after that, you take the vow, the four basic vow, followed by the subsequent vow. With that, you already completed phase one, stage one of Bodhi mind development. That is very important. That's why tonight been such a sacred, auspicious night. I will try to explain to you all the significance of Vesak. Many Buddhists do not understand what are the Vesak significance. The significance of this special auspicious day of Vesak. Most of them, they are like once a year Buddhists. Vesak day, they will enjoy public holiday. And because of that, they tend to visit temples. Then when they visit temple, they got opportunity to do wholesomeness. You may go and just pay respect. Or you may just observe around, then learn something about the Dhamma. Then there will be free booklet normally, or Dhamma books being given free. Then you can also buy some if you want to as part of the donation. Then they also have their chanting tapes and other things. Then you also get to perform a lot of wholesomeness, because on that day, you can make donation offering. They got special donation to the temples for the Sangha's fund, or for building fund, or even for many other activity like Sunday school, and also a special fund. Pledge organ and other things, which actually now the scope is a lot wider. Then they also have a lot of what they call community service, special program for orphanage, for school children. Then they also have this ordination day. The latest one, I think, next week, 11th of June, is the Samaneri ordination. Then end of the year, most temple will hold what they call short-term ordination for those who want to experience monkhood. They call it the Samanera. Then that day they call it what? Is it ordination day or what? No. There is a novitiate program. You become a novice. They call it novitiate program or the Samanera program. I used to attend during the early years very often. I didn't take part, but my two children take part when they were underage and very young because of special condition. But every year during those early years. I was there during the mid-80s, I think, until 1992. I was there, and every year I never miss. I will go and record the talk, then I will partake in whatever they do. Then sometimes in between, they also have their all-night chanting, special chanting. So these are the various Dharma activity that temple will have. Then you get to offer the lighting of the lamp. Then you can also make offering on behalf of your departed relative. This is. Then they also give you blessing. Blessing. Then if you really need more blessing, they will give you the holy water. Because this water are subject to all-night chanting. Normally they will chant it during all-night chanting and chanting the whole of the parita, the month. It's 1 month, I think, before the Vesak. Breakview used to have 1 month before Vesak. He called all of us who like to help chant the parita. So there will be a monk there. So we follow the monk. That's why that time, my children also, we went. So the parita is quite interesting. That's why I learned my chanting there. But I didn't practice or learn the official one. I only listen, like in standard one, standard two, in school. We learn English by listening, because we sing song. Then we get the pronunciation and all those things. So all this has its great significance. And the tri-sacred day is more important, like what I have written on the board. It is called tri-sacred because it is for Buddhists to recall to mind the three sacred occasions of Sakyamuni Buddha. It commemorates the Buddha's birth. The birth of the Buddha, like I explained just now, is very, very extraordinary and very significant because the Buddha, after he became fully enlightened, I think in the Dhammapada also it was said, it is indeed very, very rare for the arising of a Sammasambuddha. If you can have the condition to meet up with the Buddha, the Sammasambuddha, or to be even born within the sasana, you are considered very, very blessed. And his birth, like I mentioned, has great significance because he has completed long duration of cultivation and perfection to become a Sammasambuddha. Sakyamuni Buddha is very rare indeed because he took the wisdom way. That's why he did it in the shortest possible time frame. It also took him almost 3¾ Asankhaya Kappas, means world cycle. Normally it will take 4, but he completed it in 3¾. Then his coming was of great significance. It is because of his vow to take across all beings. And that vow created a condition for him. It started when there was a shipwreck where a lot of people died. So he was one of them together with the mother there. So he was able to save the mother, but he couldn't save the rest. So it was during that moment he made that very, very strong and very powerful vow. His fate was very determined. He wants to save all beings. And because of that, he took the Bodhisattva vow. And he fulfilled them. He perfected all the 10 perfections. That's why the coming of a Sammasambuddha Buddha is very rare. Rare indeed. And his birth is of great significance. You were to read through the Tipitaka, the Sutta, that day when he was born, a lot of auspicious program, or not program, nature's occurrences happening. It seems the 3,000 world system, they vibrated, shake with because of the rejoicing of all these beings. They know. Then this thing has been predicted by another Samasambuddha, Dipankara Buddha, long time ago, long before Sakyamuni Buddha actually fulfilled his perfection. So when this prediction was given, he already had the condition and the parami. That's why the prediction was given. Then he continued his cultivation, and over a long period of time, he came to have the condition to be born as a Samasambuddha. That was 2,600 over years ago. And this is really significant because when he came with the great teaching, his perfection of wisdom and virtue. And all these are of great blessing to the universe, to all of living beings, including our planet Earth. Our planet Earth, all of humanity is very blessed. So this is the reason why Vesak is of special significance. Then as Buddhists normally, we will recall to mind such sacred, tri-sacred significant days. We will determine very strongly our sincere intention to walk this way, or our aspiration, our vow, bodhisattva vow or whatever vow, we will determine them very strongly. There is an occasion for us to do it. Then we will put in more virya or determination to fulfill whatever aspiration we have already vowed or made. So all these are of great significance. Then it brings about a lot of wholesomeness, the consciousness, everything. Then it's also an occasion for joy, for wholesomeness, for fellowship, for people to do a lot of good deeds. So all this contributes significantly to the world consciousness, to the country's consciousness, and to the improvement of the individual's consciousness. Then the second tri-sacred activity or significance is his enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. That enlightenment is very unique because during that night when he sat, he had the condition to connect back to his nature and inherited all his perfection and cultivation. His perfection of wisdom and virtue come back to him. The Sambhogayakaya, spiritual nature, that one come back to his Nimanakaya. So these two, when it combine, it manifests and transform into the Samasambuddha. So they call it the Dhamma body, Dhammakaya. That's how the Trikaya came about too, the three body of the Buddha. The first one is the functional body that performed the function of Sakyamuni Buddha when he was born into this planet Earth. Then when underneath the Bodhi tree, when the spiritual nature come back, it went in and trigger off the transformation of this form and mind that is connected to this spiritual nature, perfection of wisdom and virtue. Then he became the Samasambuddha. That's how the Dhammakaya, the third body, came about. The body that can deliver the Dhamma. That's why they call this Dhamma body, that can manifest and teach the Dhamma to the world. And this teaching is very rare, like the Buddha said. Never heard before. That's why after this we are going to chant the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. This is the first sutta immediately after his enlightenment that he taught to the five ascetics. And this one is about the essence of his teaching. Like that Sunday class I shared that day, it's about the middle path. Yeah. There are two aspects to the middle way. Yeah. But in the sutta, it's explained only one, avoiding the two extremes. But the second one, for those who understand, when you awaken, when you become enlightened, you will transcend duality. You will not be caught in duality. So that is the second aspect of the middle way. Middle way means not entangled by the duality of life and existence. So this aspect is very beautiful too. Then this teaching, like the Buddha said, is very rare and never heard before. So without the Sammasambuddha, it's actually as good as impossible to understand this teaching. Because it can deviate, cultivator can deviate easily. If you don't have the teaching already taught by a Sammasambuddha, it is very, very difficult for an ordinary being to come to realize it. Even those who can become enlightened, they are beings who can become enlightened during the period where there is no sasana. But these are very rare, very rare. They call it the Pacheka Buddhas. Pacheka Buddha, there are two types. When the sasana is around, they awaken to the Four Noble Truths too. But when the sasana is not around, they didn't awaken to the Four Noble Truths. Well, without the sasana, nobody can summarize all of the teaching into just Four Noble Truths. They awaken to the dwelling Paticca-samuppada. Yeah. Then they come to know this form and mind is not real, not them. Then they also insight into the three characteristics of nature, universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, impermanent, suffering state, empty nature or non-self nature. So all this is in the teaching. So this very, very unique teaching is indeed very rare. Then the third trisacred condition is the passing away of the Buddha. They call it the parinibbana of the Buddha. So the significant aspect of the third trisacred the significance of his passing away or parinibbana is his advice, his last advice to all the bhikkhu. He only say one thing. Because the rest of the teaching he already taught, but he wanted to remind all the monks at that time, the bhikkhu. He said, "Apamadena sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness." That striving is to develop heedfulness. That striving is not a craving. So don't get the Buddha wrong. Yeah. When he asks you to strive on with heedfulness, means develop heedfulness. Then use heedfulness to meditate. Yeah. When you meditate, you don't strive. You don't use the thought. You don't use the mind. But to develop heedfulness, initially, you need. That's why that day at the Sunday class, because Ng B, remember, I share on the Thursday class, from the Tuesday class, the Four Noble Truths, the mundane and the supramundane aspect. Then she asked, she said, she remember me explaining the Four Noble Truths. First two, first and second, they are mundane Dhamma. So all of the mundane aspect of the teaching is there. Then the third noble truth is the supramundane, because the Buddha say suffering need not be, enlightenment in the here and the now is possible, nibbana can be realized. Then the fourth noble truth is very unique, because it is, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment. So So that one, I say, it is cultivating the mundane, leading to the supramundane. That aspect is very important. So initially, when you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, there are duality too. It's still the conditioned world. That's why that day at the Sunday class I explained. Because the question by Adeline was very good. Adeline is not here tonight. Never mind. She asked, how do we overcome duality? Where duality is the one that causes human suffering. Duality will divide through words, concept, and idea. So this duality, I explain, I say, you don't have to really do anything about it. You have to only develop the wisdom and the understanding, then you can overcome duality. So it's not about when you see something, hear something, smell something, or taste or tactile, feel something or think, then you try to see without duality. No, not like that. If you do like that, you will be caught. You will be doing knowledge-based, thought-based meditation. It's not your mind trying to go beyond duality. It's your understanding. Then I explained to her, you have to understand within the conditioned world, duality exists. Where this one comes from the mundane mind. Like the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything arises. That's why all of the phenomenal world, the duality, the characteristics of nature, they all arise simultaneously. So within the mundane world, this duality exists. Then you need to develop the wisdom to accept them for what they are. Means at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, you have to have the ability to see things as they are, like the Buddha said. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, the true suchness of all things. That's how my nature was able to teach you all how to develop that wisdom. If you were to find out yourself, it would take a long time. But the book also didn't explain that part. The book got mentioned about direct seeing things as they are, but they don't tell you what this thing is. So after I explain, you all understand. Because when my nature connected, it understood immediately. Because people is just the way they are. The world is the world. Then like the Buddha's teaching, when he started, is it whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. That is a very powerful statement. With that, you will awaken, at least a sotapan. Means this world is a conditioned arising world, causal phenomena, dependent originating. Nothing is a permanent unchanging entity that can exist eternally by itself. So because of this conditioned world, duality arises, all of this arises. So when you have the understanding, you can transcend duality. Then you will know angry person will say angry thing. Deluded person will do deluded thing. They will behave deludedly. Then emotional people or selfish people, they will do selfish thing. Then the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that, following nature's law. It can't be otherwise. If you want things your way, you will suffer. You will get yourself entangled. Because when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. You become afflicted. Then the craving, the desire manifests. The atta manifests. The self. That's why wanting to own, wanting to possess. You start to attach, cling, crave and hold on to things. Not knowing that even this form and mind is also not you, then how can this form and mind that is conditioned arising, impermanent, own anything, hold on to anything? So it is a an illusion, through delusion, living beings get themselves entangled. So to transcend duality is very easy. When you understand, straight away the form and mind will have that wisdom not to be deceived by the phenomenal world, not to be deluded by the duality created by thought, by mind. So all this is what the cultivation is all about. But to realize this, you have to go through the enlightenment cessation, like the third turning. This cessation of dukkha is to be realized. Yeah. Means nibbana is to be realized, the third turning. Mm. If you don't go through the cessation, you cannot understand. Yeah. If you go through the cessation, you will understand. So this teaching are so beautiful. Mm. That's the reason why Vesak is of special significance. Okay, now we will chant the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. Huh? Turn to page 34. Yeah? Mm. Joyce, you know how to chant it? Huh? No, no. I will give you my mic. The book is here. You got the book not? The chanting book you got? You don't have? Yeah, take from here. No, no, no. Here, in front here, God. Ah, okay. Yeah. Page 34. Ah, Ingby, you hold this one.
I think the Theravadan and the quite different. No, don't follow. I'm not. I think.
Anuttarang avisambodhin Sambujjitva Tathagato Patamang Yang Adesesi Dhammacakkhang Anuttarang Sammadeva Pavattento Loke Ap Patiwatiyam yatha katha ubo anta patipatti cemajima catuswariya saccesu visuddhang jnana dasanang Desitang dhammarajena sammasambodhikittanang namena visutang suttang dhammacakkappavattanang Veyakarana patena Sangitantang banamahse Evang me sutang Ekang samayang bhagava Varanasiyang viharati Isi patane migadaye Tatrako bhagava panchavaggiye Bhikkhu amantesi Dweme bhikkhave anta pabbajitena Na sevitabha yochayang khamesu Kama sukalikanu yogo Hino gammo potu janiko Anariyo anata sanghito Yo chayang attakila matanu yogo Dukho anariyo anata sanghito Ete te bhikkave ubo ante anupagamma Majjima patipada Tathagatena abhisambuddha Chakku karani jnana karani Upasamaya abhinyaya Sambodaya nibbanaya Sangvatati Katamachasa Bhikkave Majjima Patipada Tathagatena Abhisambuddha Chakku Karani Jnana Karani Upasamaya Abhinyaya Sambodaya Nibbanaya Sangvatati Ayameva Ariyo Attangiko Maggo Seyatidang Sammaditti Sammā saṅkappo, sammā vācā, sammā kammanto, sammā ājīvo, sammā vāyāmo, sammā sati, sammā samādhi. Ayaṁ kho sa bhikkhave Majjima patipada Tathagatena abhisambuddha Chakku karani jnana karani Upasamaya abhinyaya Sambodaya nibbanaya Sangvatati Idang ko pana bhikkhave Dukkhaṁ ariya satchaṁ Jātipi dukkha Jarāpi dukkha Vyādipi dukkho Maranampi dukkhaṁ Soka parideva dukkha Domana supayasapi dukkha Appiyehi sampayogo dukkho Piyehi vipayogo dukkho Yang pichang nalabati tampi dukkhaṁ Saṅkhitena pañcupāda nakkhandā dukkha Idaṁ kho pāna bhikkhave dukkha samudayo ariya satchaṁ Yāyaṁ tanhā pono bhavikā Nandi raga sahagata tatra tatra binandini seyatidang Kama tanha bhava tanha vibhava tanha Idang ko pana bhikkhave dukkha nirodho ariya satchang yo tassa yeva tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho chago patine sago mutti analayo idangko pana bhikkhave dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya satchang ayameva ariyo attangiko maggo seyatidang sammaditti Sammā saṅkappo, sammā vācā, sammā kammanto, sammā ājīvo, sammā vāyāmo, sammā sati, sammā samādhi. Idaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya saccanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu cakkhuṃ udapādi jñānaṃ udapādi paññā udapādi vijjā udapādi Aloko udapadi Tangko panidang dukkang ariya satchang Parinye yanti me bhikkave pubbe Ananusute sudammesu Cakkhuṃ udapadi Jñānaṃ udapādi, paññā udapādi, vijjā udapādi, ālokō udapādi. Tangko panidaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya saccaṃ pariññātanti me bhikkhave pubbe Ananusute sudammesu cakkhuṃ udapādi jñānaṃ udapādi paññā udapādi vijjā udapādi ālokō udapādi idaṃ dukkha samudayo ariya saccanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu cakkhuṃ udapādi Aloko udapadi Tangko panidang dukkha samudayo Ariya satchang Pahatabhanti me bhikkave pubbe Ananusute sudammesu Udapadi Jñānaṃ udapādi, paññā udapādi, vijjā udapādi, ālokō udapādi. Tangko panidaṃ dukkha samudayo ariya saccaṃ pahinanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu udapadi jñānaṃ udapadi paññā udapadi vijjā udapadi ālokō udapadi idang dukkha nirodho ariya satchanti me bhikkhave pobbe anano sute sudamme su chakkhum udapadi jnanam udapadi panya udapadi vejja udapadi aloko udapadi tangkho panidam dukkha nirodho ariya satchang Satchikatabhanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi Udapadi vejja udapadi aloko udapadi Tangkho panidam dukkha nirodho ariya satchang satchikatanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi jnanam udapadi panya udapadi Vejja udapadi, aloko udapadi, idam dukkha nirodha gamini patipada, ariya satchanti me bhikkhave, pubbe ananusute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi, Nya udapadi, vejja udapadi, aloko udapadi, tangkho panidam dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya satchang Bhavetabhanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi jnanam udapadi panya udapadi vejja udapadi aloko udapadi Tangkho panidam dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya satchang bhavitanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananusute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi jnanam udapadi Panya udapadi, vejja udapadi, aloko udapadi, yavakivancha me bhikkhave, imesu chatusu ariya satchesu, evanti parivattam dvadasakaram, Yathā bhūtaṁ jñāna dassanaṁ na suvisuddhaṁ ahosi neva tāvāhaṁ bhikkhave sadevake loke samārake sabrahmake sasamana brahmaniya pajaya Sadeva manusaya anuttaraṁ sammā sambodhiṁ abhisambuddho paccanyāsiṁ yathō ca kho me bhikkhave imesu catusu ariya saccesu evanti parivattaṁ Dvadasakaraṁ yathā bhūtaṁ Jnana dasanang suvisuddhang ahosi Atahang bhikkave sadevake Loke samarake sabrahmake Sasamana brahmaniya pajaya Sadeva manusaya Anuttarang sammā sambodhiṃ Abhisambuddho paccanyāsiṃ Jñānañca paṇame dasanaṃ udapādi Akuppāme vimutti ayamanti mājāti Nāti dāni puna bhavoti Idaṃ avoca bhagavā Attamanā pañca vaggiyā Bhikkhu bhagavato bhāsitaṃ abhinandun Imasmiñca paṇaveyā karanasmiṃ Bhanyamāne āyasmato khandanyasa Virajaṃ vītamalaṃ dhammacakkhuṃ udapādi Yaṃ khinci samudaya dhammaṃ sabbantaṃ nirodha dhammanti Pavattite ca bhagavata dhamma cakke bhumma deva saddha manussa vesum etang bhagavata varanasiyam isipatane migadaye anuttarang dhamma cakkang Pavatitaṃ apativatiyaṃ samanena va brahmanena va devena va marena va brahmuna va kena chiva lokasminti bhummanaṃ devanaṃ Saddhaṃ sutvā chātum mahārājikā devā saddha manussā vesum chātum mahārājikānaṃ devānaṃ saddhaṃ sutvā Tāvatiṃ sā devā saddha manussā vesum Tāvatiṃ sā naṃ devānaṃ saddhaṃ sutvā Yāmā devā saddha manussā vesum Yāmā naṃ devānaṃ Saddhaṃ sutvā dusitā devā saddhaṃ manussā vesum dusitānaṃ devānaṃ saddhaṃ sutvā nimmā narati devā saddhaṃ manussā vesum nimmā naratīnaṃ devānaṃ Saddhaṃ sutvā paranimmita vasavatti devā saddha manussā vesum paranimmita vasavattīnaṃ devānaṃ saddhaṃ sutvā brahmakāyikā devā saddha manussā vesum Etaṃ bhagavatā Varānasiyaṃ isipatane migadāye anuttaraṃ dhammacakkhaṃ pavattitaṃ appativattiyam samanenava brahmanenava devenava marenava brahmunava kenachiva lokasminti itiha tena kanena tena muhutena yava brahma loka saddo abhugacchi ayanca dasa sahasi loka datu sankampi sampakampi sampavedi appamanocha olaro obaso loke paturahosi atikameva devanam devanubhavam atako bhagava udanam udanesi anyasi vatabho khandanyo anyasi vatabho khandanyoti iti hidang ayasmato khandanyasa anya khandanyotaveva namang ahositi Dhammacakkappavattana suttang nithetang Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much. It's very good Dhammacakkappavattana chanting to remind us of the teaching. The English translation, you can go back and read up yourself. It's basically about the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. And the opening statement is to avoid the two extremes of self-mortification and sensual indulgence. So when you want to walk this way, you have to avoid the two extremes. You shouldn't be deluded by what people tell you to go and mortify your own physical body, because there is this wrong view during the early days before the advent of Sakyamuni Buddha. They believe if you subject your physical body to suffering, then all of your karmic negativity, karmic wrongdoing, you can finish off your karma. So they think by accelerating the self-mortification, they can reach purity. That is a delusion. That is an illusion. No such thing. So the cultivation of self-mortification is actually delusion. You shouldn't subject your physical body to torture, to extreme, what they call suffering. During the early years of practice, especially the Hindu practice, because they develop psychic ability and they concentrate their mind, they focus, and they try to do the impossible where normal human being cannot do. Sometimes they stand one-legged for a very long period, and sometimes they just sit in the cold, in the open, the Himalayas, with very little clothing. Then sometimes they behave like animals and all those things. Then they subject their physical body to extreme mortification and torment, thinking that after they exhaust all this karmic thing, they can reach purity. The Buddha tried for almost 6 years. He realized this is not the way, and it's for him to learn so that he can point out to people. Then sensual indulgence is also something that you should not do, because when you do that, you subject yourself to the senses, the craving, the desire, and all those things. So you have to tread the middle way to avoid the two extremes of self-mortification and sensual indulgence. That's how you start your cultivation. Yeah. Then later on, as you cultivate, you develop straightening of your view. Then you develop right understanding so that your thought process become different. Yeah. They start to purify. Then your karmic inheritance starts to develop. So when you cultivate correctly, it will lead to personality and character change. It will help you to improve your karmic nature. Means when you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind through cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, you will develop understanding to straighten your view. Then you will have less wrong view, less avijja. Then the first link will be weakened. Avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance arise, sankhara activity, mental activity, thinking, heedless thinking and all that. All this will slow down. Yeah. Then as your sankhara become less and less, your mind develop more and more calmness, clarity, wholesomeness, mindfulness. This clarity of mind will enable you to understand many things, see things as they are, awakened and all those things. That's how the spiritual faculty, when developed, the mental hindrance cease to be. Then cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path become very easy. Right view will come about through your ability to straighten your views. When you start to see things clearly with mindfulness and samadhi, wisdom will arise, understanding will keep on arising. And that is what the direct seeing is all about, seeing things as they are, not through your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your memory. Yeah. So all this, the cultivator will come to understand. That's how this Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. Then the Four Noble Truths and its three turning is also very important, very powerful. The Buddha proclaimed them in his order. He said even he himself had to go through all those understanding. The first turning is pertaining to hearing. During the time of the Buddha, you can only listen. Now you can read up and all those things. So the first phase of Dhamma is always pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. So first turning wisdom comes through hearing. So when you have the fast parami, the moment you listen, you understand, then you can develop that type of wisdom called suttamaya panya. Means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Then after that, if you cannot understand or you want to develop deeper understanding, you should go for the second turning. You follow the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the three turning. Under the second turning, each truth, they give different emphasis. The Buddha said, this first Noble Truth or Dukkha, the first Noble Truth under the second turning is to be understood. So the emphasis is understanding. Yeah. So to be understood is very important. Otherwise it's just knowledge, you haven't developed the understanding. So you reflect and contemplate. Why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I understand that? So through reflection, contemplation and inquiry, you stabilize your understanding. Then you can assimilate them. Then it prepares the base for you to receive subsequent truth for awakening. Then after that you go on to the third Noble Truth. The third turning. The third turning again, under every truth, different emphasis. So the first Noble Truth of Dukkha, the Buddha under the third turning say, this Noble Truth of Dukkha has already been understood. Means it's all about enlightenment. Because the turning wisdom is about cultivation. Bhavana maya panya. Bhavana is meditative training. So if you develop wisdom through the meditative training, through your cultivation of meditation, which is bhavana, then you will awaken. That's why bhavana maya panya is the direct seeing, the awakening through the silent mind. No more effort, no more doing. It's all about sati. So this turning is very important. Then for all the subsequent truth, the emphasis is different. Like the second noble truth. The second turning, the Buddha said, the cause of suffering, which is craving, born of self-delusion, is to be abandoned or severed. Then the third turning, this cause of arising or suffering, which is craving, born of self-delusion, has already been abandoned or severed. That's how you develop the third turning wisdom, bhavana, maya panya. When you awaken, it will be severed. Otherwise, you have to go through the second turning. Means the cause of arising of suffering is to be abandoned. How can you abandon? The meditative way, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought and all those things. That's why you have to develop them. Then, after that, the third turning is, of course, the meditative third and the fourth way. Similarly, the third noble truth. This noble truth of the end of suffering or cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is to be realized under the second noble truth. Second turning of the third noble truth. So if you cannot realize it, means you have not done the correct meditation. Then the third turning make it very clear, confirm everything. This third noble truth of Nibbana has already been realized. That's why you have to realize the enlightenment. Otherwise, you have not really developed the ability to awaken. So this realization of Nibbana can happen in two ways. One is the normal sainthood way, where you go through a glimpse of cessation. Then the other one is the more longer cessation. The longer cessation can happen during the Anagami stage and the Arahant stage, especially the Arahant stage. Then if you do not develop the condition to go the Bodhisattva way, to have the vow, to pull out this pure mind or love and compassion through this vow, the Arahant will cease. Because when the cessation happens for too long, later on, even if you want to take the vow, you cannot pull it out, you cannot draw it out, because it has become too still. And the Arahant will know no more rebirth after that. That's why the noble life, they call it the Sekha and Asekha. Sekha are those who are still under training, walking the path of Dhamma to develop enlightenment. The Asekha are those beyond training. Means they no need to train anymore. They know they have reached Arahantship. And cessation has already happened. So these people will cease and end. But those who have the condition to go the longer way, the further way, they will have the condition to meet up with people who can teach them. Then their nature will also know. Then some, they take this vow long before the cessation arise, many lives before. That's why I always help you to put in your vow this nature of mind. Whether it choose to come or have to come here, there are two possibilities. After you really firmly on the Bodhisattva way, then you don't have to come. You can choose to come because you can develop the choice through your vows and your adhithana and all those things. Okay, so basically this is what you need to understand about the significance of Vesak. So what we will do is we pay respect to Triple Gem first. Betang Pucheme. Damang Pucheme. Sanghang Pucheme. Okay. Since today is Vesak, we better have 15 minutes of meditation. At least you all can develop some form of silent meditation. I will ring the bell after 15 minutes. Thank you. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. So these are the trained mind state that you need to stabilize so that you can use it to live life, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness and the daily mindfulness in life. The true meditation is the daily mindfulness. You must be in the position to be heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise you'll be heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. Brother, you can on the light up there, just on that side. Just on the switch, thank you. Then my wife will on the other one. Oh, sorry, Stephanie. Okay, Okay, so we have finished the puja, the meditation, the chanting, and we have also discussed a little bit about the significance of Vesak Day. So now we can maybe open it up for whatever Q&A that you all have. You can ask me whatever you want to understand on the significance of Vesak, or what you all do this morning and afternoon. You can also share with us. Anybody? You just raise your hand so that at least we can have more understanding of what people do during Vesak. Anybody? Everybody is so shy. The mic is with Joyce there. The mic is with you, isn't it, Joyce? Never mind, just leave it there. Anybody, just raise your hand. Anything you want to ask or add or share regarding Vesak. How many of you went to the temple this morning? Nobody went to the temple. Cannot be. So all self-practice at home. Actually, that should be the way. Finally, you don't need to go. But please don't get me wrong. If there is condition to go, you better go. If people come and seek you up or ask you to accompany them, then you see if there is condition, you can go. I still go if people come and see me or there is condition. Because Vesak is a very auspicious day, and almost every Vesak I will go to the temple and all those things. But this year I didn't go. This year I was with my wife at home because there were no conditions. Then we just have a quiet Vesak at home. We did our thing. Then after that we prepare for you all, the Tuesday class. So my wife actually went and bought some flowers and all those things. Then we knew tonight will be more significant. Anybody want to report meditation or share what you understand of Vesak or what you do on Vesak? Or is there anything that you want to know about the Dhamma, the teaching, or Vesak itself? Apart from the one that I have shared with you, the Tri-Sacred Day, and the teaching. Anything that you want to know, you have to let me know. Otherwise, you might as well meditate some more. Ah, yes. Yeah, Yun Chan. Yes. Very good. Share with us. Yes. Push it up. Last night you went to Slangor Vipassana. Yeah, very good. So what do they have there?
Everybody. I haven't seen them for a long while. And all have grown older.
Yes. Very old, not only older. I was so surprised. I also met quite a number of them. Then my wife, of course, also say we also grow old. But you can see the difference. The big difference. They deteriorate. They deteriorate.
Haven't seen them for maybe about 5-6 years.
Yeah. They deteriorate very fast, though. Oh. Yes. Yeah, they deteriorate very fast. You have seen them old.
I haven't seen them for a long 5 years. Then,
yeah, you can see the big difference.
You can see a big difference so long. I suppose they also found me older.
Yes. There's only one Kayanamita we found become younger. Joyce, when she put on the spec, like student. like uni student. very different with the spec. But you can see, I would like to share this too. I agree with Yun Chan. Do you realize now you look at this more elderly people or even your classmate or your friend, their face, you can feel one, they got a lot of stress one. They got a lot of worry inside them, and they are not really peaceful. And most of them have problems. Most of them have problems. So you will be very surprised, because as cultivator, as Buddhist, we tend to assume most people will also be like us, peaceful, don't have much problem. Then we have the understanding of life, But you should not take this for granted. This is not something that is common and usual, I can tell you. If you don't believe me, you go and check around. Almost everybody got problem. That day got somebody call me. I think he was one of the person introduced by the first batch of Kayanamita. She was down with, I think, first noble truth problem, reality. The company threatened to sack him. Threatened to sack him. Then, because of certain thing he did in the office, then he also has certain, I think, health issue. Then he got depression and all those things. So during that time he came. Then he see me. Then I explained to him. Then he attended some of the session. Then he learned some meditation. Then he overcome the problem. And I think almost 10 years ago already. Then yesterday, I think 2 days back, he called me. The first time I heard him on the phone, I still can remember his voice. He said, "Brother Teo, you can still remember me or not?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you." You know what he asked me? "Brother Teo, how are you?" I said, "Very good." You know what his reply was? "For me, no good." He said, "I was thinking of seeing you a long time ago, but I dare not call you." I said, "What happened?" "Well, he doesn't sound good." You know what he told me? He said, "Like everything go wrong. Now come back to worse than last time." Because he got into problem again, big problem. Then he said, like everything not right. Then finally his sickness become worse. Then his kidney, I think, failing. And he couldn't get donor and all those things. Finally the brother donated to him. And you know what the doctor told him after the operation, the procedure, is it? He said, "I'm very sorry." He said, "The operation was successful, everything. But yours is the 1 in 100 probability of your own brother. It should be compatible, everything else." So most of the time, the chances is very high that he recover. He said that very rare 1% happened to him. It doesn't work. The kidney that was donated and transplanted doesn't work. So he got to go through dialysis and all those things. So he suffered. Then now with the dialysis, he said he start to feel better. But he felt so bad for the brother who donated the kidney, but doesn't work. Then he said, you want to come and see me? I said, no problem. I said, you make sure you take care of yourself. So a lot of this karmic thing, you don't develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma and you neglect your life and live the heedless life, then all this karmic issue will come and haunt you. Then when you are hit with this First Noble Truth Reality, you don't have the Dhamma to understand, to do the thing that you're supposed to do. Without wisdom, without understanding, you will be afflicted. You will become miserable. So, he is one of the typical ones. Then there are many other people too. Whenever you see, they seem to have a lot of problems. So, this First Noble Truth Reality of suffering, dukkha, is very, very true for many people. And most people couldn't handle old age, sickness and death. Then, of course, the other problem is also equally prevalent. Loss of loved one. Separation from loved one. Relationship problem, then health problem. Then the other one is also career problem. Many people have career problem. Then life itself, they have a lot of issue. Like that day, the newspaper you saw, he already disowned his son because borrowed from loan shark. Yet the loan shark come after him and do a lot of these things. And there are many people who have problem in life. It's mainly related to family and all those things. Then the recent flood in Kulim, also quite bad. A lot of people are affected. So these are the realities of life and existence. So that's why Vesak is an occasion for us to reflect deep into life, to develop the clear understanding so that you can make your resolve. Instead of wait till New Year to make new resolution for those who still haven't developed the deep understanding of the Dhamma, you should strengthen your faith and develop the strong affirmation to have this understanding, to go the way of Dhamma, to change your life, to transform your life, to develop the good condition while the sasana is still around, so that all of your future life will be taken care of. All this you have to do. But this window is very rare and very special. Okay, very good. You can continue. What else did you see? What else did you see with Vipassana Center? Yeah, apart from your friends.
That's the only thing I noticed, that everybody's got older already.
But they also have their what they call Vesak sales, isn't it? They have the Vesak sales. There's a lot of store there, isn't it? Don't have store this year. This year they don't have.
They don't have. They're just celebrating Vesak on the eve.
Oh, sorry. Yours is Vipassana Center. Yours is not the other one. The other one is the Ciji. Not Ciji. Fo Quang, sorry. Fo Quang, they got sell Pao and all those things.
Yeah. Fo Quang, as every year they have got the charity sales.
Yeah, the charity sales and all those things. I used to go to Brickfield, then sometimes Nalanda, then sometimes this Ciji. Then depend on who the Kayanamita is. There were Vesak, we went to Klang also. I think with Monica, Leslie, they all. Then we visited the Kuan Yin Temple and all those things. Mm. It's quite exciting. You can have the condition to move around. Mm. Then initially, during the early years of my cultivation, all this throughout the year, the whatever temple activity, I will be there. Then we also help out in the tape library and all those things. So we partake in all the Vesak preparation. How many of you have helped out in the temple Vesak preparation? Oh, very good, not bad. I have one only, I cannot be. I think a lot. No. Since you know Dhamma until now. Yeah. And what you all normally do? You help to do what? Arrange flower. What else? Only arrange flower. I believe there's a lot more there. When I started, I remember I do a lot of things. First thing we do is clean up the temple. That time Brickfield, we really enjoy. We clean up the temple. Then we help to decorate the temple. Then we help to tie the string to the holy water for chanting. Then we also fill up the holy water and all those things. Then we do a lot of this, what they call, within the stupa, there's a stupa with a lot of images. Sometimes you have to clean them out and bathe them. Is it? Wow. No. We let the younger one climb. Then they hang the flag. They hang the flag and all those things. Then the fencing and then the Sunday school. Wow. A lot of things, actually. The repainting and all those things. Then chanting. All night chanting. The evening chanting. 1 month before Vesak. Then we got our puja. Then, of course, we have also the various type of Dhamma talk, the weekly activity and all those things. Yes. Yes.
Bihara, they made...
I know, 36,000 lights.
A lot of lights.
Very beautiful lights.
With
the wheel, Dhamma Chakra Pavatana, the turning of the wheel.
With all the scenery about what happened during Buddha's time, is I think evenings they turn it on.
Yes. They send the WhatsApp too. Which is very beautiful. This year they have done something different. Now there are also much more Buddhist societies. Compared to last time, only a few. Yes, pass to Mimi. Mimi to share. Very good.
Okay, today I started the visa waking up very late. Not early, late. And I actually read some Buddha books by Venerable Yun Shun Fa Si.
Oh, different. Not
Yun Shun Fa Si.
Yun Sun.
It's a very good book.
Yeah.
And it talks about the cultivation of how to transcend from mundane cultivations to the supramundane.
Sadhu.
So that is quite good. Then after that, my husband finish his prayer.
Oh, okay.
And then he said, let's go to any Buddhist temple. So we choose Bab, which is the nearest to us.
Oh, yeah.
That time is about 2:00. There's basically nobody is around.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they finished their activity.
So what I want to share here is when I bow down in front of Lord Shakyamuni Buddha, of course, I have the full gratitude towards his nature. Mm. But this time, I do it quite differently.
Mm.
I actually, in my mind, when I bow, I actually put myself to have my the Chwa and the Chang ancestor together.
Sadhu.
And also call upon all sentient beings that want to walk the path to pay respect to the Triple Gem. Mm. And there I make the aspirations that may this Vesak day in front of Lord Buddha, we make the aspirations of the Triple Gem will bless, guide and protect all natures that is bowing in front of them to pay respect. Mm. And then may the blessing of the Triple Gem will always guide and protect us, all natures, including, because when I say all natures, that means all sentient beings.
Mm,
then after we do the bowing very mindfully, I ask them to rejoice
so that
they will have the conditions to one day, you know, gain whatever aspiration they make, arahanto or bodhisattvas or becoming a sammasambuddha.
Mm.
So I make on their behalf, so I ask them to rejoice.
Sadhu.
This one, actually, I learned this way of how would I say, way of doing this kind of, I wouldn't say aspiration, the way to bring sentient being across is through the Pusian world.
The Sita Yuan of the
Pusian. Because when you do, not only you think of your own crossing across to the suffering sea, but you bring all whoever that have the affinity with your nature.
Take them along by providing them with the condition.
For those people that aspire to treat the path of the Bodhisattva way, that is the way. So, just to tell you a little secret, when you are doing the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta. So, I actually call upon Shakyamuni Buddha and the Ten Direction Buddhas.
Sadhu.
And I request them to bless, guide and protect all your nature that is present tonight. So may you all one day be able to awaken to the highest level of truth, and whatever you want to be, arahant, bodhisattva or sammasambuddha, is all depending on your own nature and aspiration. So tonight you go back and make your own aspiration respectively.
So hopefully
one day these conditions will arise for all of us to walk this path.
Sadhu.
Thank you
so much. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Yeah, pass the mic to Ajay Sadhu. Very good.
Thank you very much, Mimi. I think that's a really wonderful aspiration for everybody. On my part, I'm a bit lazy. I woke up quite late, as usual as you. I was actually supposed to go with you somewhere, right? But I never contacted you, so I wasn't sure what I want to do this morning.
Oh, okay.
So what I did was I got up, lays around the bed for a bit. Didn't know what to do, actually. But it was Vesak day. Shall I go to the temple or shall I not go to the temple? What shall I do? What should I do? What is the most noble thing to do?
Sadhu. Yeah, very good.
I got up. Oh, Clifford Lim is still sleeping very soundly.
Wow.
So was my family. I got up not very early, at about 8 or 7:38. And I grab a shower and everything, and I say, okay, I shall go to the temple. So I got dressed up, everything, and as I was coming down, my dear Rose has already prepared all the tea for
the servant.
For my altar. And I said, okay, I have to do that first before I go anywhere else. So I did that. And after doing that, quite naturally, for some reason, I actually began to do my puja. And this is actually the first, I wouldn't say really the first time, but this is one time that I'm very determined to finish the whole puja for the morning puja. And I must tell you, it wasn't very easy because I'm basically a kind of person who does like to do things pop, and then very quickly go to the next one and things like that. But I think this morning, for some reason, I decided to do something very slowly. And I took my time to do the puja, and I took the time to even do the English version. From that experience itself, I am quite glad to share with you my personal experience. Mm. Nothing very much to it, but I think it's quite important for myself.
Yes,
that while I'm doing my puja, and with the kind of determination and wanting to make sure I understand what I was chanting, I did the English version as well. And
very
the
good.
Thing is that it actually makes a lot of difference.
Yes, a lot of difference. Yeah.
And I was doing it with more vigor. I was doing it with more strength. I was doing it with more faith.
Mm.
Everything that comes together, suddenly you realize that whole puja, morning puja, was like, everything was like so energized. At the same time, you tend to also understand with a little bit more clarity. With a little bit more brightness and with a lot of joy. I think that's the thing, with a lot of pity.
Yeah.
And I finished from the Dhammatasa right to the contemplation, the five contemplations, right to my normal chanting of... I even did the Tapecho. I did the Hasutta. Literally, the whole book I finished.
Yeah.
And I finished it within 1.5 hours. That was quite long, actually, for me. Because I don't do such long. But I didn't do my Dhammacakka, I must say.
I didn't do that somehow.
So what I'm trying to say is here is that this is one of the very few times that I do it with absolute determination. I was quite ready to go from moment to moment, from one step to the next step.
Sadhu.
Not really knowing where it's taking me,
but
I am just going along and doing just that.
Sadhu.
Not
very
thinking
good.
Very much of what whether I'm going to miss my temple visitation at 10:30. Nothing of that. So it was quite composed, quite focused. I think that is quite important.
Sadhu. Very good.
That's basically. So, but anyway, I didn't go to temple anyway.
Yeah, sadhu.
So that's my sharing.
Thank you so much. Yeah, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. In fact, faith is very important. Sada. Don't underestimate faith. When your faith is very strong, your virya will be there, and you will determine. And when you determine, especially your faith in the Buddha and his teaching and your teacher, then when you reflect back, all the great beings, how they cultivate, they also start from scratch, like you all. And it's only when they reach a certain point in their cultivation, when they develop the understanding, they go all out. Just like my nature, never turn back after that. Because when you see the importance of this way, this cultivation, your nature become different. And that will take you along. Then as you understand more and more, your understanding will come out with all the adhitan and all those things, aspiration and affinity and whatever. Then all those vow together with all this adhitana and aspiration will take you along. And the more strong your faith, the more determined you are, the more powerful your aspirations are, your vows are, And just like Mimi mentioned, and just now Joyce also mentioned, that faith is the starting point. Because when you have this mind that has the understanding starting from the faith, it will develop the whole cultivation. And always remember, you only need three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Yeah. Means you must have faith first, then you're very sincere to walk this way, then everything will follow. Then you just do like Joyce now understand. Forget about the rest of the thing. Just cultivate your daily mindfulness, develop your spiritual faculty, understand the essential Dhamma, reflect, contemplate until very, very clear, very stable. Then continue with the cultivation, your daily mindfulness, four foundation of mindfulness and all those things. Then as you develop this religious routine, your progress along the path of Dhamma will become very different. You will move very fast. I still remember during the early days, you may think my nature from my past helped me. Yes, no doubt it helped me. But all this started because of what I did in the past. The vow, the faith, the sincerity, and that resolve to go this way is very important. That's why when I read the Jataka story, about the story of the Bodhisattva in the shipwreck, I felt it very deeply, out of love and compassion for the living being you will do. Then because of what you have gone through in life, you have seen. Sometimes you come for the living being and that vow, that bodhi mind that is been planted since the distant past, they are still so powerful, ever responding. That's why you need to understand when you come as a form of mind, you don't have the vow. It takes you a long time to connect. But you have the vow, it will connect very fast. And the moment it connects, a lot of things will happen. That's why life after life you will progress. Your nature becomes different, your cultivation becomes different. That's the reason why vows are very important. Aspiration, via power of merits, via invocation of truth, by the power of this truth, by the power of this understanding, then by the power of these merits may arise the causes and conditions for things to manifest and unfold. Then later on, your nature become very different. You no longer develop only your own cultivation. You will reach a point where you know that all this your nature has done before. Now it's no more about your own cultivation or whatever, or even doing good and all. No more. It's all for the living beings. And that is the level of cultivation that will make you very different. It's all for the living being. Where you have reached the point of the Diamond Sutta understanding. The Diamond Sutta, like I used to share with you all, it doesn't have much teaching. It only explains to you about the cultivation of the Bodhisattva ways. Those who go the Bodhisattva, they cultivate the Diamond Sutta understanding. And the Diamond Sutta understanding is basically Hui Ning's Six Patriarch Platform Sutta teaching. The three unique, what they call, hallmark of Hui Ning. He said, first, go to the true mind, direct to the true mind. Means the first level of cultivation is no thought. No thought. If you can reach that state of no thought, you already gone beyond thought-based meditation. And that will assure you that your cultivation is different. Then after no thought, you will awaken to the sainthood way. Then if you take the Bodhisattva way, it will continue, then you will reach the part where you will understand no mark. So no thought, no mark already make you very different. Your cultivation, your merits, everything is very different. Your perfection, your wholesomeness. It's not a normal cultivation anymore. Yeah. The no mark normally for sainthood way, they also can realize that. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living being. But the third part, no mark of Dhamma and all those things, the sainthood way may not really have the clear understanding. They have some form of understanding, especially at Arahant level. Yeah. But when you go beyond Arahant level and walk the Bodhisattva way, then that no mark, all the three become very clear. No mark of Dhamma, no mark of life, no mark of the phenomenal world. Everything ceases to be. Then your mundane mind will collapse. Then later on, as you progress along the Bodhisattva way, especially you get to finish off the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Then you can connect to your true nature. Then during that time, you will have the condition to realize the true mind, the true nature, very clearly. Then during that time, your cultivation become very different. You can reach the third hallmark of winning. The mind has got no dwelling. During that time, when your mundane mind collapse, your mind doesn't dwell anywhere. It is just ever mindful in the state of awareness. And the awareness is either specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness. It's just like that. Then when the mundane mind want to arise, it's just aware, nothing else. It will not be troubled by anything. So that one will reach the fourth stage of Bodhi mind cultivation. Once you break all these three, the fourth stage, you can renounce samsara and develop the cultivation, the perfection. And that time, everything just flow very fast. You can understand things and progress. And this is what cultivation is all about. So always remember Huining's teaching, the three hallmark of Huining's teaching. You must realize no thought. Then through the direct seeing, awaken to no mark. That one will take a while. But the moment you penetrate this, your cultivation becomes very different. So all of the other thing is no longer important. Then you will have that type of unique cultivation which is way beyond the normal cultivation. And like the Diamond Sutta explained, the merits that arise from this type of cultivation is without comparison. Those who went through the Diamond Sutta class, they know. Then even now, Padmasuri starts to understand. Because he said, last time she cannot understand when I share the Diamond Sutta. So now she listening to the recording again. Because now with a new understanding. Actually, that time when I share the Diamond Sutta, very few of you all understand. Until we went to China, the Six Patriarchs, that spiritual trip. Remember? We saw at the temple there, everywhere on the column, the pillar there. All his teaching, they are all on the thing as we visit the temple. So this is the part I want to summarize so that we can end. Oh, sorry, now it's almost 10:40. So we will end. Okay, let us now compose our mind, develop the rejoicing. Then we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo emina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, eh? Then Konyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy one, then we end. Thank you.
Give me 1 minute of your time, please. Those who are, those of you who are following Brother Teo to Anandagiri Katina.